Thanks, Cheryl. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Which means Cheryl and Ken and all those people listening on the radio.
And Linda Gardner.
And Linda Gardner. Linda, Linda's been listening to the recordings, right, Connie?
Yeah, she said she didn't always get to catch the radio, but she's listening to the recordings. And yeah, she's on the other side of the world.
Yeah, she is. Ken is reminding us that we did not do the recording announcement, so let go of the mic so Cheryl can do that. Hey, Meg. Okay. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Marge. So Linda lives in Wynyard, Tasmania, Australia.
Okay. Yeah, and Linda sent us both a message, just a real sweet message. And
it was.
So we wanted.
It was. Yeah. So I told her we'd be thinking about her every time we came on now. So yeah, we just want to say hello to our mom and to
Linda.
Who else is there?
Linda and Meg and Meg. Cheryl and Ken.
Cheryl and Ken and our friend in Australia.
Yes. Now, is everybody hearing Connie okay? Yep. Okay, good. All right. I'm glad you can hear her because she's going to give the prayer. I'm laughing because I just threw her in. Yeah, threw her under the bus. It's her turn.
All right. Thank you, God. Thank you once again from the bottom of my heart for this golden opportunity for me to hear you and share with Jacqueline and everybody that's listening. Share the truth that you would have with us, because that's all we want. Thank you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Lovely. Thank you, Connie. All right, so last time we were with you guys, we started Titus.
We skipped a week on him.
Yeah, we did skip a week because I was there. We could have done it, but we were at Marge's having dinner, so we didn't. but we had begun NTI Titus, and what we're going to do tonight is just read chapter one. It's just three paragraphs. And then we'll move on to NTI Titus chapter 2. So we are on page 391 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. The Father, all creation is God. All creation comes from the Father, so it is like the Father in every way that it operates. The creation that does not know the Father believes it is separate from the Father. But when the Father is remembered, creation is remembered also. The Father is like his children, and the children are like the Father, for there is no difference between them. This is not a matter of effort or change. This is the way it has always been, and what has always been shall never change. Anything that appears to be separate from you anything that appears to separate you from your brother is a mirage. It is to be forgiven, so you may see yourself and your brother truly. Anything that seems to separate you or your brother from God is a mirage also, for nothing can separate that which has been made inseparable. This was the reading for mental healing not too long ago. I'm just trying to figure out where we are in that now, but that's all right. Wow. We're moving right along in general healing. We're all the way up in Peter in general healing, and that's 30, 40 pages.
Wow.
So they it's like a car you see approaching your rear view mirror, comes up behind you, zooms past you. So that's what we've done with this teaching. But the reason that I even mentioned that is because I was trying to recall, what was said about chapter one in the teachings. But my recollection is that we talked about NTI Titus chapter one. We talked about the creative principle and life as existence, or just the beingness of life. And so this is what this, there's really no separation between me and you, between us and God, or me and God, and we are the flow of life. It's the bottom line, I think, on Titus chapter 1.
The two sentences that I have marked in the first three paragraphs is in that last paragraph, anything that appears to separate you from your brother is a mirage. It is to be forgiven so that you may see yourself and your brother truly. And of course that's the only reason we need to forgive anything, is so we can see our brother and ourselves truly.
Yeah.
I mean, because unforgiveness blurs it. It makes it the mirage, right? It makes it unseeable.
Right.
It distorts it.
It distorts it, yes.
Which I think is right in line with Gina's tips, too. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like yesterday's, I think. But we move on.
did you want me to pull that tip up, or you just want to move on?
I don't care.
Well, not directly.
There was a story about I don't remember. It's a story about the guy. The guy Job, whatever. It was a story about Job. Is that his name?
Job. It's spelled like Job, but it's pronounced like Job.
Okay. It's a story about that guy.
Right, and of course.
And how they took everything away from him, and then made him have disease, and all he could still see is that. Was the magnificence of God.
Right.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I am away from there.
You remember the movie Adam's Apples?
No.
Oh, that's a good one. That's, it's, in that movie, the book keeps falling open to the book of Job, and the priest.
I do remember that was a pretty violent little movie, wasn't it?
It was different. I don't know. Some of it was, yeah, yeah. Actually, some of it was quite violent, but it was pretty funny. That idea is that well, hang on a second.
Yeah, that was a really bizarro movie.
Yeah, it was bizarro, but fun. So you think that was yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, let's see. Yes.
Yeah. So it certainly did occur to me that that in reading that. That unless I'm really willing to acknowledge that this world is an illusion and stop being affected by it, I'm not going to get this.
Hmm. Absolutely.
Because otherwise, I'm just I'm going to be affected by it.
Yes, exactly. And as Regina said in yesterday's tip, I'm just reading it to show you, you're absolutely right. She said, as Regina said, as long as we believe to any degree that happiness comes from manifestation, we will experience suffering. We choose to love truth as supreme. Manifestation may appear favorable or unfavorable, but it will not affect our heart-centered love of truth. Yeah. By the way, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we're screwed. As long as we're affected by the world, we're going to be screwed. And I have to look at that every day when I get aggravated at people at work and stuff, you know? So it's just time to be about it, I think. I think 65 is too late.
It's not too late, but it might be time to get started. Hi, Kathy. All right, you ready to do Titus chapter 2?
All right.
By the way, I wanted to tell you, Cheryl said, you're so cute, Connie.
I can't wait to see that Cheryl in person.
I know, it won't be long now. See her in Italy, for sure. Yeah. All right, NTI Titus chapter 2. Teach your mind to listen to truth, and teach the mind that it is a mirage also. In this way, the mind becomes willing to be quieted. And in the quiet of the mind, the echo of truth can be heard. I don't know if I wrote it about this or not, but certainly there was some reference in my writings with inner wisdom about using the mind as a tool. You know, the mind's not a bad thing as long as you don't treat it like your master, right? You know, it can be used as a tool. It can add 2 + 2. It can figure out plane reservations. You know, it can be used as a tool. Yours can't, Connie. Connie can't do the plane reservation, but you get the general idea. Surely there's something your mind can do. No, I'm teasing.
Not much.
No, it's good at quoting palettes.
All right.
Yeah. Running a business, but again, teach your mind to listen to truth, and you teach the mind that it is a mirage also. You know, it's to listen. It's not like it quit letting the mind lead the way, right?
And I pretty much feel like that's what I was saying before, is because if I believe the world, if I believe my mind that's saying that the world is true, and that, you know, somebody's a dummy, and then I react as if they're a dummy, I believe I've let my mind mislead me. So I have to realize that that what the mind is telling me about the world just isn't true. And for that matter, maybe what the mind is telling me about anything is the point that's being made here.
you got them on even your knuckles. You want to get me a bowl of those? That'd be great.
Oh, sure.
Tom came in with a bag of Cheetos, and it's all over his knuckles. I'm sorry. Oh, shoot. So I was slightly distracted. I apologize.
All right, let's move on.
Teach yourself to be quiet through the desire of your heart. Teach yourself to remain quiet in willingness and faith and love. In this way, you teach yourself to be attentive in peace. It is through peace that the remembrance of your truth is. I mean, it's counterintuitive is a bad word. It's what intuition is, but you know, it's counter to what ego believes. Ego believes you learn stuff and you get smarter and smarter and smarter. You know, the more you learn, the more you. And the truth is, it's through the quiet that the true wisdom comes. And so by teaching our mind to be quiet, we access not only the truth of our being, but that is true wisdom. We access all knowledge and all synchronicity and we do this by focusing on our true desire. Just like you were saying a while ago, if you see your happiness as contingent on manifestation, then you're distracted from your true desire. But if you remember your true desire, and focus on your true desire, you're able to turn from the focus on manifestation to the stillness of the heart.
And we're talking about the true desire being the truth.
Exactly.
What's that big orange thing you put in your mouth?
By the way, Tom, Cheryl said, hey. It's a Cheeto.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to talk around the Cheeto.
All right.
So
we figured out that you hear the truth, you got to quiet your mind.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's I'm asking a question here.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like being present. It's not necessarily calling us into meditation, but maybe just into presence.
I'm really glad you said that, because I think you make an excellent point, because what I tend to do is think meditation when I read that. But I think you're absolutely right that it's calling us into presence. And, like we've talked about, instead of thinking about, interpreting, figuring out how it's going to affect me, all this, what's going on right now, right, which takes us out of presence, we're being called to still that, and just be with it. And even all that talk that we did a couple of weeks ago about, just really being with the feelings is that invitation to presence. You cannot be present, when the thinking mind's like, jib, 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 right?
Right.
So I think it's talking about that exactly that stillness that's found in presence. Now, for me, it's important. It seems important to spend time in meditation, because when I spend a regular time in meditation, it's easier to be present. It's easier to be in that stillness, when I'm at the grocery store, or, doing stuff on the computer, when some sort of emotional upset presents itself. If I have
it. Meditation is a setup for being present.
I think so. I think when I have it's those neural pathways that we talk about. It's easier to go down that path if the path is a well-worn path already for me. And that's why meditation is important for me.
Cool.
Yeah. Teaching is the way to learn, it says here. Teaching is the way to learn. The one you teach is yourself. In this way, teach yourself your one true desire by demonstrating your desire for it with every thought that comes into the mind. It's funny because it's like, it's like I've heard people use that description. It's like training a puppy, It's like, no, come over here. You are training yourself. It's not your current habit. It's not what, may not be what you're comfortable with. But it's a training process, which certainly indicates some discipline.
What's a training process? The being present? quieting the mind?
Yes, yes. Let's read the next paragraph, and that will tell us more. Teach the mind to be subject to the heart. Teach the mind to be subject to the heart by being grateful for the desire of the heart. Through gratitude, desire is stretched within the mind. Let the desire for love expand within the mind that is conscious, and the conscious mind will give more willingness to rest at the feet of the heart. So again,
yeah, that consciousness, being conscious is like being present, it seems to me.
I'm not sure that's how it's being used in that paragraph, but certainly it takes us back to okay, so what has it told us to teach? Let's go back to page 399. Teach your mind to listen to truth, which is 391. Sorry.
Okay, 391.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Teach your mind to listen to truth, which will also teach it that it's a mirage, right? So teach your mind to listen to truth. Teach yourself to be quiet through the desire of your heart. Teach yourself to remain quiet. There's also the teaching of peace. Teach the mind to be subject to the heart, which is back on 392, through gratitude. I mean, it's really talking about, like you said, it's talking about that presence, but with the presence comes peace, gratitude.
True desire.
And the remembrance of your true desire. Yeah. So I'm going to read that last paragraph that read again. Teach them to be subject to the heart by being grateful for the desire of the heart. Through gratitude, desire is stretched within the mind. Let the desire for love expand within the mind that is conscious, and the conscious mind will give more willingness to rest at the feet of the heart. You know, the more you do it, the more you want to do it. Right?
Yeah.
Now focus on the heart in gratitude. When the mind is found busy forgetting, remember again in gentleness for it. The mind is willing to listen to the heart, but it needs your willingness to remember for it.
And that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. For the mind is easily distracted by forgetfulness, although forgetfulness is no longer the desire of the mind.
It's got me pegged.
Love is the leader in all things. Lead with love in the treatment of the mind, and the mind shall respond with the gratitude of the heart.
Sweet.
Yeah. When I read that, for the mind is easily distracted by forgetfulness, I'm remembering that scene from that animated movie where the dog's talking, blah, 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 and then he goes, squirrel! That's my mind.
Yeah.
All right. Remember again in gentleness, love is the leader in all things. And you and I talked about this recently because we heard Regina Reed last week in Gentle Healing. Can't think of Kate's last name for some reason, but that's okay. Kate talking about her commitment to be. To love herself no matter what. And we were just talking about sorry, got a little bit distracted by the board. I apologize. But we talked about how that was this practice of being gentle with yourself, how it doesn't help to double dip with the ego and be hard on yourself when you find yourself forgetting. that's actually going in the wrong direction. And this admonition to let love lead in all things, again, now focus on the heart in gratitude. When the mind is found busy forgetting, remember again in gentleness for it. Love is the leader in all things. Lead with love in the treatment of the mind, and the mind shall respond with the gratitude of the heart. Yeah, and actually that takes me back to that, to like training a puppy thing. I think it was Adi Ashanti that was talking about it. But it's like, you know, if you're trying to teach your puppy whatever, you don't, you know, you just gently pick it up and put it back on the page you want it to go potty on, or, you know, or you gently pick it up and bring it back over to you if you're trying to, you know, train it on a leash. You don't beat it, right? I told you to go on the paper! that's not, you know, so it's that same kind of treatment of yourself in this learning process. And again, I was reminded up here when it said teaching is the way to learn, of Course in Miracles admonition to teach what you would learn. So it's not, you know, it's not just, although we certainly took it that way, or I did when we first read it, you know, it's like, be kind to your brothers, you're teaching, you know, you're teaching them and you, but it's not about teaching your brothers at all. It's about teaching yourself, and you teach through love, and you teach yourself love by extending love to yourself as well as to your brothers. Right?
Yeah. And I think your point's well made about, you know, being hard on yourself. I was remembering about that incident I was telling you about it when I got so mad out in traffic, and just thought that that woman, if she fussed at, that if she knew I was teaching this gentle healing class, she would laugh. You know, I mean, who are you to teach gentle healing, or NTI?
Right.
Who are you to NTI?
You crazy screaming woman, you.
Yeah, when you're a freaking idiot. And a bad one, and a bad girl, too. So that's what's being called here. And I think that's where we started this whole thing, is anything that appears to separate you from your brother is a mirage. It is to be forgiven so that you may see yourself and your brother truly. So I would have to, I need to participate in that forgiveness that was being called for right up at the beginning.
Yeah, and yourself being the best candidate for forgiveness, right?
Yes, right.
Okay. Let's see.
Chapter 3.
Yep. NTI Titus chapter 3. Be ready to remind yourself of your truth. The way of the thinking mind is forgetfulness, but your way is the way of remembering. Joyfully remember whenever the mind forgets. Sorry, that's my calendar. Joyfully remember whenever the mind forgets, and the way will be filled with happiness and deep gratitude. You know, that's the again, I mean, we're on the same theme here, and it's praise your mistakes.
That's insightful, I think, Jack.
Yeah.
Writing it down is so insightful.
Good.
Yeah, so it's like that barometer that we talk about over and over at the beginning of this, that when anything less than joy comes up, it is a barometer to say, oh, I must be mistaken, and see it another way.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're on page 392, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Your true self is the self of love. This is your reality in the connectedness of all that you are. Everything you do for love at the call of love. To perceive yourself in any other way is merely a small misperception in your mind. And I'm reminded here of, and Regina said the other day, when I told this story, she said, you said Adi Ashanti said that. I said that a long time ago. <Or something. laughs> Just talking about how something, because you can't hear until you can hear something, right?
Yeah.
Adi Ashanti was saying instead of, in his book about healing the core wound of unworthiness. I've got it on audio, whatever that is, Audible. So he's talking there about, you know, how we see ourselves, however we see ourselves, but as victims or screw-ups or, you know, what if we just let everything go, every conception about who we are go, and really see ourselves as the vessel through which God pours his love into the world. And that's what this paragraph has just said. Your true self is the self of love. This is your reality in the connectedness of all that you are. Everything you do for love, at the call of love. To perceive yourself in any other way is merely a small misperception in your mind. So that's that same call, to see yourself as the vessel for distribution of the love of God in the world.
Cool.
Yeah. Love yourself through the remembrance of what you are. Rejoice at your experience through the realization of what it is and how it comes to you. So I'm going to read that again. Love yourself through the remembrance of what you are. Rejoice at your experience through the realization of what it is and how it comes to you. And, you know, again, your experience, everything you do for love at all of love. It's asking us to rejoice at the experience that we have in recognition that everything we do is we do for love at the call of love. Again, that whole idea of what all we're doing here is pouring God's love into the world. Love and gratitude are the natural response to all things. Any other response is misperception and can easily and joyously be let go. You know, there's only one thing going on here, folks. It's the pouring of love into the world, into everything, right? It's not like, and again, this gets back, yep, Cheryl says, yep. But this gets back to that whole, you know, the third principle of God, Regina talks about, the creative principle. We talk about it in terms of the code. Right? It's all fed by all of us into the one mind, you know, and that's what we, that's, excuse me, that's the, oh, okay, I'm hitting the wrong button on that, I should just let it go away. But that's the experience that we're having is based on the feeding into the mind of you know, our thoughts and our actions.
Everything is the way it is because everything else is the way it is.
That's right. And in the Buddhism class, we called that co-arising. I can't get the other word. Interdependent co-arising. Yeah, everything is. Everything is the way it is because everything else is the way it is. But this is all the action of love. You know, so there's nothing to be rejected. There's nothing to be eschewed. There's nothing to be condemned. Love and gratitude are the natural response to all things when you know what's really going on, when you know what all things really are. All things really are love, being shared in response to the call for love.
And I said that backwards. I mean, you're saying it much better than I said that when we started this Titus tonight, and that was that whole idea of unless I'm ready to realize that it's a, you know, it's an illusion, or just an experience, and not get caught up in my responses, you know, my negative responses to the illusion, but instead to know that it is just an experience that I've chosen, and then you don't have to be affected negatively by it.
Yeah.
Then you can allow everything to just to be as it is.
In love and gratitude.
In love and gratitude.
Yes. Absolutely. This is the bottom of page 392. Remember me when you seem to lose yourself. And you remember yourself, capital S self, through me. For I am that which you are. I bring yourself to you because I am thyself. To know me is to know you, and to know you is to know me also. Drum roll, please. The peace of God is in all things. The peace of God comes to you through all things when you choose to see the purpose of all things as the peace of God. Amen.
Yeah, that's kind of like holding your intention out in front of you. And if your intention is the peace of God, that's, you're going to see it in all things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, rather than your intention being to get through the damn life.
Yeah, or to have the biggest bank account or whatever it is. Okay. That finishes up Titus. That takes us to Philemon, which is page 395 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Okay. It is time for a reminder of that which you are tempted to forget. It is time to look on love and remember clearly that you look on the truth of you. Do not doubt your truth. It is within you. It is you. You feel guilty. Sorry, it's my calendar. You feel guilty because you believe you have abused your truth. You believe you have used your truth to separate yourself and to create pain in the heart of God.
I do.
Well, Here's the good news. There is no pain. There is no pain in the heart of God. There's only the illusion of pain within your mind when you look away from the truth of what you are. Yeah, I think this is a beautiful follow-up to talk about, you know, being gentle with yourself, remembering the love that you are, teaching the love that you are. When you forget, you know, let love lead the way. I think this is just an excellent follow-up to that and going, and in case you didn't get it when I said it in the last chapter, don't feel guilty. Guilt is not helpful. There is no pain in the heart of God. There is only the illusion of pain within your mind when you look away from the truth of what you are. It is time that you remember so the illusion of pain may stop and your joy may be released, just as blue sky is revealed by the parting of clouds. You are everything. This is not a sentence. This is not even a thought. This is the fact of the truth of you. Look up and remember, you are everything. Everything that you see, everything that you seem to know, everything you could possibly be aware of is within the mind that is you. Every tiny aspect, without exception, is you. Take a moment to take in the majesty of this realization. You are everything. My recollection is Regina's Tips talked about this again in terms of that beingness. You are the beingness that life is. There is no separation between your beingness and the beingness of a tree, your beingness and the beingness of a cow, your beingness and the beingness of a blade of grass. You are the uninterrupted flow of life. Cheryl says, and everything is you. Yeah, and of course, every time I read these lines, I think of that song, right? You are everything and everything is you. I'm sure that's where they got it. Feel the meaning of these words beyond your thinking mind. Feel the majesty and glory. See the innocence of every thought. Every thought. See the innocence of every thought within the realization of this one truth. You are everything. And if you are everything, there is nothing that must not be you. And if there is nothing that is not you, there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire. And if there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire, then everything that is given must be given to you, by you, as love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a very powerful way of making that point. Yeah. Hey, George. Look on the world and do not fear it, for it is your friend. The world is showing you that which you desire in the recesses of your mind. This is important because you are not always aware of what you ask, and so you do not always trust that it is your gift that you receive. Look on the world. It is useful to show you what ask. I mean, this is what we're talking about. A while ago, you were calling it a barometer. It's the same idea.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. What is shown to you is given to you through the love that you are. Look on it in a new way. Look on it in gratitude for the truth of what you are. As you give gratitude for this gift of love, you shall know its love. As you know love, its love is all you shall see. Lift your eyes in truth and see the glory of all that you are. Anything that is not love in your sight is an error. To see the love before you, let go of your error. It is blinding you to the truth that sets you free. It's amazing, isn't it? No, I'm pretty sure I want that to be different. I don't want those cows to be walking across where I can see them while I'm teaching. As you give gratitude for this gift of love, you shall know its love. As you feel guilty for what's going on, as you reject what's going on, as you curse when you're going to you're going to have those experiences. But if you recognize everything that's going on as the love that you are, you will know it as love. And Cheryl says, I have some notes on this page. When the mind returns home, you become awareness. Rising above our thoughts is becoming awareness, more and more present. The mind returning home is no longer noticing the activity of thought. It happens less. Yeah, and that's what we were just told a couple of pages back, too, right? Yeah. Yeah. I am restored to you in your remembrance of me. Lift up your eyes and look. In your remembrance, I am all that you see. You know, again, whatever we were reading a minute ago, maybe the tip from Regina. What comes next? It's Hebrews. I was going to say, and Hebrews says, which is the very next page, and we're at the end of this chapter, you are the leader in your own awakening, and this is the point. You know, it was saying, teach yourself what you would learn. Teach yourself the truth of you.
So what is it you want to learn, right? And you want to learn the peace of God? then seek it out and everything, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, or, you know, the alternative many of us choose much of the time is I'm right, I'm a good person, it's that we would seek to prove, right? You'll find proof of whatever you search for. You just got to decide what it is you're looking for.
Yes, and I think that we talked about before, the Dialogue on Awakening has that whole chapter on, you know, seek nothing but peace. But, you know, it's kind of like Regina's tip, or I can't remember where it came from now, but, if you're seeking for peace, you know, pick one of these to hold out. Whether it be love or peace or
happiness,
joy or harmony.
Happiness. Exactly. And that takes us to.
I don't think you read the last.
I didn't.
23 through 25.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you. Your spirit is all that you are. And all that you are is within all that you see. Amen.
All that you are is in all that you see.
Yeah.
Well, it sure seems simple when you're sitting here reading this book.
But how well does it travel, right?
I don't always transfer out there on the traffic.
Yeah, and that's what we have to keep doing. And in fact, Titus chapter 2 was absolutely about, remember when you remember, and when you realize that you've forgotten, remember and joy that you've remembered again.
Yeah, and don't be guilty about not remembering.
Yeah.
Making yourself wrong and bad.
Right. Cheryl wants to know if we should become more thoughtless now.
Let's all become jackals.
Let's not. Whew, that would be. What movie was that? Oh, Being John Malkovich. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where in one scene they were all John Malkovich, everybody at every table in that restaurant. That was a weird world. It would be even weirder if it was all Jacqueline. Tell you what, I'm going to...
They found a portal, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, that was a cool movie. I am going to play that song that I mentioned. How's that work for you, Connie?
Okay.
We're 6 minutes out, so makes sense to me. Okay, this is the Stylistics. You are everything. Here we go. I think. Come on. There it goes.
Somebody who looked just like you. Do you walk like you?
Now, how much fun was that, huh?
You can hear that longing in that song.
Oh, yeah, that you've talked about. You want to mention that before we go? You got a minute to do that.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if Regina or somebody was talking about...
It was Tess Hughes, right?
Oh, it was Tess Hughes. Was talking about how you can hear the longing in songs and different things that are written, and that is the longing you have for God, and I was telling Jacqueline that I had realized that from some time past that the songs that moved me to the core of my being were those songs that had that longing for, and now I recognize this as God, but at the time there was a longing for something, and it was touching the core, my core, which was a longing for the same thing. I just didn't have the recognition until got into a spiritual path and realized that it is in fact my longing for God.
Yeah, which we might call the true desire of the heart.
The true desire of the heart.
There it is.
There you go. That's a nice note to finish on.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, we appreciate the opportunity to be here and share with you. We love you dearly, and we'll see you next week.
I'll be back next week to share the true desire of the heart.
That's right. Bye.
Bye.